It's I've been called upon by Mr. Singer, Chaim Singer, to try and give some hadrachas, some address, how to absorb, how to react to the decision which is ahead of us and the results of the decision and moving forward beyond that. I think there are a lot of different things to think about in this area. And I would like to start, though, with some ideas from the Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer Shmir Shaloshin. The Chafetz Chaim and Sefer Shmir Shaloshin talks about the Milas HaSholem. He brings a Chazal, and this is a Chazal. Du'upan banai, ki Milas HaSholem mihi Mila HaRoma shekein hu shem echad mishmoysu shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sholem is one of the names of God. Shemar b'ikra l'Hashem Shalom. Komakim sh'Shalom motzui sham yir shemayim mitzuyah. Where Shalom is found, that's where yir shemayim is found. Gadol Shalom is ne'amakim. Kadosh Baruch Hu finds Shalom to be great. And he brings a chazal which says Gadol Shalom. Even the psukim change presentation in order to maintain Shalom. So the chazal continues on. He brings point after point after point of the ma'ala of Shalom. It seems to be, if you look into the history of Klal Yisrael, and we talk about the Milah of Sholem, we find a strange thing. The Klal Yisrael seems to be a very argumentative group. Klal Yisrael seems to be a group where Machloikis is an ongoing defining element of our existence. Parshas Korach behind us. But there's a fascinating, I just want to bring out, is Machloikis totally bad? And where does it have a room? Is there a reason for it? What is it about? The morale says a fascinating idea. There's a tefillah, which it's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah in Masechtas Brachos. And it's a tefillah, which the Rambam says that we're supposed to say every time we sit down to learn. Every time we sit down to learn, there's a tefillah which was instituted by Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. And Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana and his tefillah would say, I should not, before I start, I said, I should not be nichshol b'dvar halach, I should not make a mistake. Shalom al tomei, tahor b'la tor tomei. I shouldn't say something which is tomei, should be tor, something which is tor, etc. And v'yikoshlu b'chaveira, my chaveirim will then be nichshol. They will make a mistake because they will be nichshol because of me. We have to explain that word in a second. And they shouldn't make a mistake, and I shouldn't be nichshol because of them. So Moral says, what's this nichshol idea over here? What are we worried about this nichshol? What is this nichshol? This stumbling block? What's the problem? He says, well, the nature of an argument, if anybody sat in the basement and learned, the nature of an argument is, if I say A, the other person says B. If I say B, the other person says A. So if I'm wrong, if I made a mistake in the Dvar Halacha, means he's right. He might gloat over that fact. And then he'll be punished. That's the tefillah. He says, now, well, let's go back a step. Why is it that the nature is, if I say A, the other person says B? And if I say B, the other person says A. Why is that so? Why can it just be that if I say A, the person says, yeah, A, you know, right? Clap, 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 and the person says A. Why is it that we're like that? Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu made kishem, shem, parches feim, doimus, the same way our faces are not the same, our dayers are not the same. We're not the same. When it comes to the world of Torah, if I would say A, the other person would say, yes, A, that's it. That's all there is about Torah. That's as far as it goes. My first glance, I say A, the other person says B. So I say, well, no, you're wrong. It's really A. And I'll tell you why it's A. And I think a little bit deeper into my position. He says, no, I have a kasha on you. We go back and forth, and we get deeper and deeper into the understanding of what the Torah really meant. But I only get deeper and deeper into what the Torah really meant because the nature of a human being is, Rashi made the nature of a Jew to say the other way. It was given to us for a reason. If we're searching for that greater goal of MS, in that world, that greater goal of MS, it's very important to have that other side. Yerushal Salantus is a fascinating thing. I'll tell you just, I remember Rashi Gifter Zichel Livracha was telling me, he remembers one time he was, you know, people learn Beis Medrash, sometimes they get very worked up and they're pshat and they're going back and forth. And he looked up and he knows that they're having this argument. And there's this non-Jewish peasants, you know, the Lithuanian peasant from the countryside, staring at them. And you know, these two guys are getting all upset and they're yelling and they're screaming, "You're right, you're wrong, this pshat, that pshat," back and forth. And this peasant is watching them. And finally he says, "Just hit him already. Just hit him already. What are you waiting for?" That's a different machloikus. So Yusuf Salanter says that the true limud of Torah lishma is when I sit in Beis Medrash, and he calls it the word, the Yiddish word is gifted. Gifted means the person has put this whole argument into it. And if I sit there and I say, yeah, that doesn't do anything. Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish was nifter. Reish Lakish, everything that Rabbi Yochanan said, Reish Lakish would ask 13 questions. Rabbi Yochanan would give 13 answers. And Torah would be in Yisraba, we've clarified Torah. Reish Lakish is gone. They bring him Rabbi Lozim and Pados. Rabbi Yochanan says, his pshat, Rabbi Lozim brings 13 rayas that he's right. He says, "I don't need your rayas. I don't want your rayas. I want your kasha. I want to hear the other side." So Yosef Alter says that the first step of learning Torah Lishma is there's another tzad. But when the final emes is found, Baruch Hashem, even though the other person was right, Baruch Hashem. When you get to the final emes, there's a Baruch Hashem because the final emes was found. I don't know about you, when usually I get one of these arguments, and I go back and forth a few times, and of course my ego gets into it, and my understanding gets into it. When I get to that, I finally realize the other guy is right. It's very hard to say, Baruch Hashem, you're right. Thank you so much. I usually say, "I hear." That's it. He says, but if my goal is Torah Lishma, my goal is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, what's the difference? Who figured it out? What's the difference? So we're given a midah to look at something differently. And we're given that midah because the Barsha made is different, because it forces us to rethink our position. And is it right? Maybe we are right. But we didn't really think why we're right. And what we have to maybe limit what we're saying and define what we're saying. But when I finally get to that clarification at the end, Chastei Hashem, we found that the emes is found, I'm happy. So shalom isn't, I just nod my head and say, whatever you say is fine, that's fine. You know, that's not shalom. If you have a husband or a wife and do that, I guarantee you're going to have shalom bias problems. Because down inside, somebody is not letting their emotions out. Actually, there's a study done by a professor named John Gutman, who's actually from a Yid, lives in, Philadelphia. And his field is, he's a professor in marital counseling, so he's done a study for years and years and years, an ongoing study. It's 30 years, over 30 years old. What are the indicators of a marriage which will last and not end in divorce? That's an American issue. And he says he finds in that marriage, a relationship of 5 positive interactions to 1 negative is the best ratio for a marriage to last. He says if there's only 3 or 4 positive to a negative, it's not going to last very long. And if it's 10 to 1, he says it's not going to last either. Because if it's 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 or whatever it is, that usually means that one person is not expressing their real emotions. They're just suppressing them. And that's going to eventually come out in a negative way. Fascinating. I'm not saying that a firm marriage should be, that number is 5 to 1. I don't know. That was in the secular world. That's the number 5 to 1. Maybe the number is 20 to 1, 30 to 1, whatever the number is. But if a person has something that says, it comes out, and it comes out in a strong way, and it has to be addressed. It's good it came out in a strong way, because it's important to you. If it's not, if it didn't come strong, it means it wasn't important to you. I mean, things are important to us. They're very important to us. So they're important to us. They have to come out, they come out in a strong way. That doesn't mean we can't find a way after they came out in a strong way, a way to deal with it. So that's what Yusuf Salanter says. Now, Yusuf Salanter, you're learning a piece of Gemara, you realize the person, there's a very clear emes at the end. Right? We worked the pshat back and forth. I said my pshat, your pshat. I asked your question, you gave me an answer. You asked the question, I gave an answer. Until finally, that's the pshat. Now we got it. We would love to say that when a person goes through a process of electing a rav, and now we know the emes, and that's not really clear to us, but we do know that there's hashgacha. What's the hashgacha? Why the hashgacha? What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want? What's his goals? What's his reasons? We are not privy to that. We are man. But that's where it is. And what will be and what's going to be in the future, I don't know. And that's not my goal. That's not my responsibility to figure that out, to answer that question. My responsibility is to look and start with L'shem Shemayim, to think what I think Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to do. The same way I'm trying to understand that piece of Gemara, L'shmo of Torah, to start with L'shem Shemayim, what I think Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to do. And then, after it's finished, I say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what you're doing. And even if it isn't the way I thought the way it's supposed to be, okay. But the starting point is the L'shem Shemayim. You can't do the second half if you don't do the first half. They say over from Chatzko Levenstein, this is an ongoing issue. He's a Mashkiach in Ponyevich, tremendous tzaddik. So, like nowadays, you have the issue of elections would come up in Eretz Yisrael, Bechirot. And there would be this major push. Everybody has to go to vote. Everybody has to get the vote out, and they have to campaign, etc. And that was it was important. And the argument was that it was the Shem Shemayim. And Rabbi Chatzel said, it's very possible it can be the Shem Shemayim. It's very possible. The way that you'll know whether it's the Shem Shemayim or not is the next morning when you're davening, be a better daven. If you went out into the mitzvah is Gereris Mitzvah. So I can tell you that I know that it'll be the Shem Shemayim, that it's a mitzvah what you did. If it's mechazik your Torah, it's mechazik your tefillah, it's mechazik your shmiras haloshen, it's mechazik your mitzvahs. But if the result is not that, so then the challenge of lishma is 99% lishma is not lishma. That's a very big challenge. The Chofetz Chaim says very clearly that there are cases where you're allowed to say lashon hara, the tuelos, etc. But he says, but it has to be pure. And a person is pure, so that's great. He's done the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't always just say, yeah, it's fine, but the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to say what you feel. And say it strongly if necessary, but for the purpose of the tuelos. Because that's what I think Yudin Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And if that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, and I really believe that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, but not what I want, not what I think is what I think Kadosh Baruch Hu wants in this world. That's my little tuelos. Then I'm doing a mitzvah by doing that. But the measure of whether that's true or not, we'll see what's the aftermath afterwards. Again, it would be very nice. So, have made this world where everybody is. There's certain people like that. We don't enjoy disagreements. I don't enjoy disagreements. Some people, I think, you know, are more comfortable with it. I don't enjoy that. I know that I don't enjoy that. If I have to get into this, but there's times when I feel that I must, and I do. But I try. We try afterwards to say to move it towards a resolution, move it towards okay, and. Those of you who might know me might know, but I do it, I can say it strongly if necessary. But afterwards, the aftermath has to be okay, that was done. It's done, it was said, it's important, and now what? I look at the Kila of White Oak after, we're here 16 years in the city, and I've dropped into this community many, many, many times. Many, many, many times. The beauty of this community that I always saw in the community, the beauty of the community is the actus of this community. The beauty of this community is that Rabbi Winter Zichel Livracha and his Rebbetzin Starkzein gave a direction, gave a purpose, and gave everybody with different ways of looking at things, but there was this unifying force which led it forward, and people recognized the importance of that. towards Torah, towards mitzvahs, towards growth. There's a tremendous aptness in the community. As Rabbi Winter would say, it behooves the community to remember that part of the what he left, the part of ability to be different and to disagree and see things differently and still be together and still be one. The endeavor that you're embarking upon, or some of you have done already, to decide a rav, if I can give you one or two things to think about, is in a very important moment in your lives, very important moments in the lives of the community and the greater Washington community. Look deep inside of yourselves. Look deep inside of yourselves and say, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want for me? Where should I be 5 years from now? Where should I be 10 years from now? And what do I think Kodesh Baruch Hu wants? If that's where I want to be, and that's where I think Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to be, I need to find the correct person which will help me do that. The clarity of making that decision sometimes is not clear. And I was not here. I was not present at any of the presentations. I actually had wished to be so. It just did not come out. And I can't push you in one direction or the other. But one thing is clear. That after 120 years, we come to Shemayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu will ask us, what do you do, Laman Kavoydi? Laman Kavoydi, what did you do? And that's a question which we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask. It's our tefillah. My humble tefillah to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I'm sure your fervent tefillah is to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu should guide the kehillah in the correct direction. Give them the siyata d'shmaya to understand where to go, how to do, what to do, whatever the decision is, how to move forward with that decision, with the understanding that our goal in life is to carry a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon as a flag which moves before us, direct us, guide us, and bless us with all of his blessings, Be'ezras Hashem.